God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his only begotten son, that's Jesus, gave him to die and rise again, to die on the cross to pay for sin and rise again to conquer death, that whosoever, anyone, would believe in him, that's faith and faith alone, would never perish, but have everlasting life. That's the greatest message of all. That's the simple grace message of salvation that we find throughout the Bible. What a great truth. By faith in Jesus Christ, we receive eternal life. And the moment we trust in Jesus Christ, we go from death to life, from darkness to light. And what we've been doing is seeing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We saw the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of unbelievers, where he convict the world that they have not believed in Christ. That's the plan. Now, what happens when we believe? And we said there's two aspects of it. There's one at salvation, at exactly the moment of salvation. What does the Holy Spirit do? And then what does the Holy Spirit do for us daily? Now, when we get to these next ones about daily, because we're seeing what happened in the moment of salvation, and for every one of us in this room who've trusted in Christ, it's already happened. We just want to make sure we know it and understand it. But when we get to the one daily, that's when we're going to really start thinking, okay, what about our lives? How does the Holy Spirit work in our lives today? Now, here's what we've seen, okay? We've seen the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit regenerates us. That means he makes us spiritually alive. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual life to the believers. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were spiritually dead. Now we're spiritually alive. Every one of us in this room, we're dead. Now we're alive. The Holy Spirit also baptizes us, and people get confused, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit places us in union with Christ. He places us in the body of Christ, which is the church. And that's nothing to do with tongues or anything like that. It has to do with God putting us in union with Christ and really in union with each other in the body of Christ. The third thing, as we saw that one, so it was the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and that's where the Holy Spirit keeps the believers secure in Christ. Recall, we're sealed until the day of redemption. It's the idea of the Old Testament, something was sealed and kept safe. He seals us and keeps us safe in Jesus Christ. That's the key. Well, this morning, two more, and we're going to see the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? How does that work? And then we're going to see the giving of spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to go fairly quickly because we can't go into a lot of detail, but we'll see it as we go through it today. Let's look at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we say the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit actually comes to live inside of you. That means every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ actually have God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us. Now, there's other passages that actually says Jesus lives in us. There's other passages that says the Father lives in us. So it's getting really crowded in there. But the truth is, they're all in there. But we're talking about the emphasis of the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us. Now, here's the difference. In the Old Testament, when a person believed and they put their faith in the coming Messiah, they were regenerated. Some people, the Holy Spirit actually came upon them to strengthen them or to do certain work. But the Holy Spirit didn't come to permanently live in anyone in the Old Testament. That's why in one of the Psalms, when David writes and he says, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me, because he could lose the Holy Spirit. Let me show you sort of what we look like. We've seen this before. There's the believer. We got a body, we got a soul, which is the part of us that relates to the world. We got the flesh, which is the natural bent to sin. We got the conscience, which tells us right from wrong. The moment we believe in Jesus Christ, we now have a human spirit. We're born again. That's regeneration. We're made spiritually alive. But then the Holy Spirit actually comes to live inside of us. And so as we put it this way, we've got a body, a soul, a conscience, a flesh, human spirit, that's the part born again, and now the Holy Spirit. And so this is a powerful thing. Now I want you to remember, baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit places us in Christ. Indwelling of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. So they're two different things. Baptism, we're placed in Christ. Indwelling, Holy Spirit's placed in us. So it's an amazing thing to think that each of us has the Holy Spirit. Now, I told you to turn to John 14. I want you to look at John 14, look at 16 and 17, and look what he says about the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus. This is the last night before he goes to the cross. In John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, it's called the Upper Room Discourse. Jesus is with the guys. They're eaten the Lord, what we call the Last Supper, the Passover meal, and they're going to leave and go to the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus is going to be arrested. But as they get ready, here's what he says, and he's been telling them, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back and get you. It's good, and you know, I have to leave. And then in verse 16 of John 14, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper. That's the Holy Spirit. And he may be with you for how long? Forever. That is the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you, and he will be where? He will be in you. Now, that's the key. He says, I'm going to send another helper. And literally in the Greek, another of the same kind. He's been the helper. Jesus has been with them. They've been with Jesus. They've watched him do ministry. They've done everything. And he says, I'm leaving you. And they say, don't leave us. He said, no, I'm going to send another of the same kind of helper, just like me. Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit's God. He's sending another of the same kind. And he says, I'm going to send another same kind of helper that he will be with you forever. And the word helper there is the word paraclete, which the one that means coming alongside to help. Notice the end of verse 17 again. But you know him because he abides with you. That means he's been with you, and he will be, and this is the key, he will be in you. He abides with you, and he will be in you. Now, that's what's so unique. If you remember on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in the upper room, about 120 believers, and they'd been praying and waiting, Jesus told them, don't leave until the Holy Spirit comes. I'm not sure they knew exactly what that meant, except they thought, okay, somehow the Holy Spirit's going to be in us. And suddenly it was like a rushing mighty wind, and these tongues things, fire went above everybody's heads, and all of a sudden they could speak different languages, and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of them. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, it's not something like fire above your head or anything like that, but the great truth is, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, in the same way on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to live in believers, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and live in me. God gives us the Holy Spirit when we believe. He is the source of our power. He is the source of our strength. He is everything. Now, let me just throw a few verses out just to show you some things. That in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not God's. And the Bible says that every believer has the Holy Spirit, that the moment you believe, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. 1 Corinthians 10-14 basically says that God reveals things. And we're going to see this later when we get to what the Holy Spirit does daily. But I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit who is inside you reveals things. God reveals things to us by the Holy Spirit. So when you're studying the Bible and you go, oh my, I've never seen that before. Who just revealed that to you? The Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Let me just say things, and you can just see how people have a misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit with us? Is he in every one of us? Have you ever gone to a meeting and say, oh, Lord, send your Holy Spirit tonight to be among us? What? He's in you, and he's been. If people just do not understand Scripture, or they'll say, oh, Lord, give us the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you have the power of the Holy Spirit? You had the power of the Holy Spirit the moment you believed in Jesus Christ. So we got to move past some things that people have always said and see what the Scripture has to say. So Paul says, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Holy Spirit reveals things. Paul says the Holy Spirit teaches us. Paul says the natural man can't understand things, but the spiritual man with the Holy Spirit can. Now, here's a question. I'm just going to throw this out, and I want you to think about it. How do we know that we have the Holy Spirit? Well, there's two ways. One, and this is the key way, is that the Word of God tells us. The Bible actually says the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. There's also the aspect of the fruit of the Spirit coming out in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. When we see that coming out in our lives, that's an evidence that the Holy Spirit's within us. Now, you can't go by necessarily by experience, but let me just show you something. We know that the Word of God gives us the facts that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. In fact, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So you have written revelation from God that tells you you have the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, which is the experience that we talked about a while ago, you may experience that. You may see it in your life. You may see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Some things maybe you've never seen in your life, and then it comes out, and you could say to yourself, it's got to be the Holy Spirit in me. But you cannot base truth on experiences, because your experiences could be wrong. I just put this up, but the bottom line is it goes back to the Scripture. And so that's why the most important verse, that we want to think about is this one right here, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. He goes on to say, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. So I want you to just think about this, that every one of us in this room, the moment you believed in Jesus Christ, God the Spirit came to live inside you. Now, he's already regenerated. The moment you believe, he makes you alive. The moment you believe, he seals you. The moment you believe, he places you in Christ. But the moment you believe, he also comes to live inside of you. That's good and bad, you know? Let me say it this way, I, as a joke. It's good because he's always with you. It's bad. He's always with you. You know, you want to do something wrong, or you're thinking about doing something wrong, you realize that God is not some way, long way away that you can just hide from him. He's living inside of you. So we're going to see later when we get into what he does daily, he is the power for us to live. Great things there. So here's some great truth. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. The Holy Spirit will never leave us. He is in us forever. And the Holy Spirit is our source of power. We're going to be calling that the filling of the Holy Spirit. We'll get to that when we talk about what he does daily. This is called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So some incredible truths. Any questions? Anything you got? We still got a few more minutes, so we got one other thing to look at. Any questions? Here's what I want to remind you. We have seen regeneration is when God makes us a new creation. He regenerates us. It's called being born again. It's being made spiritually alive. Baptism, we're placed in Christ. Sealing, we're secure in Christ. You can never lose your salvation because the Holy Spirit keeps you safe. Jesus keeps you safe. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, my father. Nobody can pluck them out of my hand. Nobody can pluck them out of my father's hand. The great truth is nobody can get them out of the Holy Spirit either. He doesn't talk about it in John 10, but the verses say we're sealed by the Spirit to the day of redemption. And then there's the indwelling when the Holy Spirit comes in us. And we're going to talk about the power and what he does a little bit later. So there's some great things there. Any questions, any comments, any input, anything you want to talk about before we move on? Because we got one more we want to look at today, and that's the giving of spiritual gifts. Anything? So every one of us, we're born again. Every one of us, we're in Christ. Every one of us, we're secure forever. Every one of us have God the Spirit living inside of us. Now there's one more that happens. This all happens at the moment you believe, and that is this, and that is the giving of gifts. The Holy Spirit actually gives spiritual gifts to believers. Did you know that every one of you in this room, you have at least one spiritual gift? Let me show you this, that the moment we believe, the Holy Spirit gives every believer at least one spiritual gift. There's some of you in this room that have more than one spiritual gift. You may have two or three spiritual gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4, that's listing of the spiritual gifts in the Scripture. So if you said, I don't even know what the gifts are, well, go look those passages up. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. And you also say, well, let me go take the spiritual gift inventory. We're having membership training today. And one of the things we do when people come to go through membership training, we give them a spiritual gift inventory, tell them to fill it out. And when they get through, it gives them an idea of what their spiritual gifts may be. If you're here in this room and you'd say, first of all, I wasn't even sure I had a gift. And number two is, I don't know what it is. Well, you need to know what it is. You do need to know what your spiritual gifts are so you can serve, because you need to serve based on your gifts. If your gift is teaching, then you need to be teaching. If your gift is administration, you need to be doing that. If your gift is the gift of helps, you can be helping, doing all kinds of things. That's the spiritual gift that can do just about anything. And so you want to tie in where your gifts are. So let's talk about it. Spiritual gifts, by the way, spiritual gifts comes from the Greek word charia, which has the idea of, comes from charis, which is the word for grace and gift. So it's something freely given. Every one of us in this room, just like we think about the grace of God, how he gave us salvation, he gives us everything, he also freely gave us a gift. And a gift is something freely given. And like if I said to you, I'll give you $10 to wash my car, I'm not giving you $10, you're washing my car. A gift is, I'm giving you $10. And you go, well, thank you very much. Okay, that's a gift. And spiritual gifts are gifts God gave to us so that we can serve. The purpose of gifts is to edify the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, talking about edifying. Now, I want you to see something. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. Now, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? Just turn to 1 Corinthians 12. I want you to see something about spiritual gifts. You know, we've taught the book of Corinthians before, maybe two different times before in the last 30-something years. And it's an incredible book because the church has got so many problems that the whole book is going through correcting issues. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14, he's correcting the misuse of spiritual gifts. So every one of us in this room, we have at least one spiritual gift. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at this right here, verses 4, 5, and 6, because all three members of the Godhead are involved in the giving of gifts. Notice, there are varieties of gifts, but it's the same what? Anybody there? Turn there to 1 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 4 with me. There are varieties of gifts, but it's the same what? Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but it's the same what? Who's that? Who's the Lord? Lord Jesus, okay? There are varieties of effects, but it's the same. Who's that? God the Father. So there's the Father. But notice verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the what? Spirit for the common good. The Holy Spirit actually decides what gifts you get. Look down at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit. Who is that? Holy Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individual just as he wills. What is he giving out to each individual as he wills? What is he giving out? Spiritual gifts. So whatever gift or gifts you have them because at the moment of your salvation, God, the Holy Spirit, not only regenerated, not only put you in Christ, not only sealed you, not only came to live in you, but he actually gave you gifts. Some people he gave one gift, some people he gave two. Think about the spiritual gifts that Paul had. My gracious, he was an apostle. He was a prophet. He probably had the gift of evangelism. We know he had the gift of teaching. We know that he had the gift of helps. We start looking at all the spiritual gifts. He had the gift of administration. He set up church. He did all kinds of different things. So there's some in this room that you may have one, two, three, no telling how many spiritual gifts. The saddest thing is that there are people who trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and go their whole life and never plug in and serve. They don't know they have gifts. They don't know what their gifts are. And they never plug into a church. Never plug into a place where they can serve. So you don't want that to happen to you. Okay? So he gives as he decides. Let me show you something here. You don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians says he gives them out as he wants to. Here's a verse. 1 Peter 4:10 actually says, and I don't want you to have to turn there just because of time, but 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, everybody has received it. He says, at least have one. We're to use those gifts for the glory of God. So every one of us in this room, think right now, what is your gift or gifts, and are you using them for the glory of God to fulfill what he has for you? In fact, he goes on and he says, you use your gifts in service of God as you serve others, and he divides the gifts into two big groups, speaking gifts and serving gifts. He says, if you have a speaking gift, speak the Bible. If you have a serving gift, serve in God's power. A speaking gift would be evangelism. A speaking gift would be teaching. A speaking gift would be pastor teacher. A speaking gift might be some other kind of gift. A serving gift might be administration. It might be helps. It might be mercy. No telling what it is. So he's basically saying, if you got a speaking gift, speak the Bible. If you got a serving gift, be sure and use God's power so you can serve. That's what Peter says. So here's the question. What are your gifts? Where are you plugging in? Where are you being used by God based on the gifts that he's given you? So what have we seen? We've seen the Holy Spirit gives every believer at least one gift. The Holy Spirit decides who gets what gifts, and the gifts are to be used to edify the body as we serve one another. Now, what we've seen today is the indwelling where the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, and we've seen the giving of gifts where the Holy Spirit gives to every believer gifts as he determines. Now, you may say, well, I wish I had the gift of teaching. Well, somebody else may say, I wish I had the gift of helps. Listen, I don't know what your gifts are. But let me tell you this. When you actually exercise your gifts, you don't want other people's gifts. You get so excited. When you are serving in the capacity that God has gifted you, you will be so excited about what you're doing. If it's the gift of helps, you're the kind of person you look around and they say, they're always doing enough over there. They're always helping people. They're always doing this. They get these things done. If it's somebody teaching, they're just loving to teach. They can hardly wait to go teach. If it's somebody who shows mercy, let me tell you, they're doing things that the rest of us are going, yeah, you go over there. We don't want to go over there. But they love going over there. And so that's what we see. And so you would be so excited when you plug into whatever gifts or gifts that you have and you get to do it. So here's what we thought about. We've seen so far, and this is it. This is what the Holy Spirit does at the moment of salvation in a believer. It's five things. We're going to start next week, and we're going to see the things that the Holy Spirit does daily in the life of a believer. This is at one time. He regenerates us, gives us new life. He baptizes us, places us in Christ. He seals us, makes us secure in Christ. He comes to live inside of us. That's the power in us. And he gives us spiritual gifts, the ability to serve God. That's what we see. Now, we're out of time, so I want you to, let's look at this. Let's realize that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. I want you to think about it. This is the power to serve. He'll never leave us. We're supposed to be holy. Why? Why should you be holy? Why should you be holy? Because God is holy, who's living inside of you and me. So when we start thinking about sinning, we ought to go, oh, better not, right? Maybe I better not. Second one is this. Let's use our spiritual gifts. Think about it here. Spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to us, and gifts are for service in the body, and we serve God as we serve others. Do you understand that he gives you spiritual gifts? He gives you the opportunities to serve. He gives you the power to serve. You serve, and then when you get to heaven, he says, I'm rewarding you for serving. And you go, well, you gave me the gifts. You gave me the opportunity. You gave me the power. You put me there. Why do I get rewarded? Because you're faithful to use what he had for you. So God is a gracious God.